Mishchadash Adar Sheni is the Yoytzer of Uri from Samber. Uri from Samber was Mishal Shelas HaKahuna. His father was a big makubal, a big tzaddik. In his younger years, he was a tremendous masmid. And he became a Talmud of the Gadol Hador at the time, of Shaul Natanson, the Baal Shaul Meshiv. And eventually he became the Skariv to the great tzaddikim of the time, the Sashalom from Belz, Rav Ram from Stratton, and also to the Abir Yaakov from Sadiger. His father was a chassid of the Stralisker, the Sraf from Stralisk, we spoke about maybe a couple of years ago. And the Stralisker's name was Aburi, and he named his son after the Sraf Aburi. And in fact, the Ramallah, the Rebbe from Stratton, who had seen the Rebbe Aburi, when he saw this Rebbe Uri, and the first time that his father brought him to him, he looked at him and he said, "I remember you when you had a longer beard." And he knew right away that his neshama was connected to the tzaddik, the Stralisker. And his avodah was very much like the Stralisker. Koili koilis, fire, mamash fire. An amazing story. He started off in the city of Kamarna, because that's where his wife's family was from. And even though in that town there was a lot of hisnagdus to chassidus, he still went to the Sashalom from Belz. What happened was that his wife was pregnant, and he was sitting and learning, and they had a lot of financial difficulties, and he didn't want to take any money from people, any matanas. So his wife was working, and she was carrying a baby, and it was very stressful. So one day she just collapsed, and the baby was born, and it was a very big lachatz in the house, and people were saying, "Rabubi's irresponsible, he's not taking care of his wife," and he ran to the Sar Shalom from Belz to, like, escape. And he figured to himself that, you know, after she had the baby, that neighbors would come and take care of his wife, which was, eventually did happen. But he couldn't take the lachatz anymore, and he felt like he needed a bracha, and he needed chizuk from the Sar Shalom from Belz. Anyways, he gets into a wagon, and he's traveling, and he shows up in the Beis Medrash, and he's tired, and there's no place to sleep, and it's late at night. He needs something to eat or to drink. So he comes into the Beis Medrash, and an older-looking gentleman comes over to him, and he says, "Can I help you?" He says, "Yeah, I need a place to sleep." So, actually, I don't think he even made it to the Beis Medrash. It was late at night, didn't know where to go. So he brought him to the Beis Knesset, and he said, "Here, maybe I could put a bench out for him." He's also very hungry, very thirsty. So he said, "Don't worry." He came, like, to the Aron Kodesh. There was, like, some water there and some bread, and he gave it to him to eat and to drink. So he lay down there. Early in the morning, the Gabbai comes in, and he sees this guy laying there. And he sees that the Aron Kodesh is open and the food is missing. And he says, "What happened?" So he says, "Somebody gave it to me. I had it to eat and to drink." So the Gabbai gets all upset, and he comes and he starts to smack him. And he hit him with chutzpah that you come in here as a guest. You don't ask for show. So you just start sleeping. You're taking things. What is this? So all of a sudden, the original gentleman, he comes in. And he says, "Leave him alone. Leave him alone. I was the one who gave it to him." As soon as this person said that, so the Gabbai looked at him like a pachad, and he didn't say anything, and he went away. So that morning, the next day, he goes over to the Sar Shalom from Belz, and as soon as he walks in, the Sar Shalom gets up, and he starts to walk over to him. And he comes in, and he runs over to the Sar Shalom, and he says, "Yeah, so much difficulties and sorrows going on in my life, no parnasa, and the redifus at home, and my wife, taking care of her." So he says, "One thing I can guarantee you for sure. Anybody who sees Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't have any parnasa problems anymore." And the Olim who was standing there heard him say that. And so they all started to come over to him, and they made sure, after he said those words, anybody who sees Eliyahu HaNavi, all the people, they understood who it was, this Reb Uri. And he didn't have any struggles anymore after that. Because I'm telling over the story, he said that this happened with his father. What?
Gabbai also saw.
Yeah, the Gabbai Sam was also a big deal, yeah. He knew that he was an impressive person. I don't know if he saw him as Eliyahu Navi, but the fact that he saw him is Chashav Zach. Yeah. So this, the person telling over this story said that it happened with his father. His father was being called to a din in the city of Sambar. And he came early because he knew that there was a tzaddik there, Reb Uri, to come and to get a bracha. So he showed up at the city very early in the morning, and he was looking for Reb Uri. He didn't see him in his house. He went looking for him, and he saw that there was like a bridge, like crossing between two cities, and he was going on the bridge, and he was saying Kapitel of Tehillim. So he said to the rabbi, he asked, he was like, what's he doing outside, you know, going back and forth and out of the house at this early hour in the morning? So the rabbi said, don't you know that saying Tehillim early in the morning is when people are still sleeping is such a sweet thing? So he told over to the rabbi the issue that he's in this mishpat, and the judge, and it doesn't look very good for him. So the rabbi said, yeah, I know this judge. I remember when he was young, he was a big rasha. He says, I have an idea for you. Go out when he's coming out of his house, before he goes to the courthouse, he takes a little, like a tiyul, and at about 8 o'clock in the morning, like, go there. So, okay, the rabbi says, So he goes there, 8 o'clock in the morning, he's like, he sees the Dayan, you know, from the distance, and he's making his way over to him. It was a very cold day, a very cold morning, and there was like ice everywhere. All of a sudden, a dog jumps out of the horse, starts running after this Dayan, this judge, and he starts running away from the dog, where the dog catches up to him and pushes him on the back. He falls on the ice, cracks his head, and he dies. So he comes back to Reb Uri and he tells him what he saw, and the Rebbe didn't even make a, wasn't gross at the whole thing. He just said, yeah. And he just kept on going. It was like, no, it wasn't misspelled from the whole thing. The court case changed cities, and already he had a connection in the city, and it's off. Everything worked out fine for him. Tremendous Baruch Kodesh. You know, we say these names, and you know, many of you hear these names for the first time. I've heard the name of Baruch from Sambar before. You know, we get accustomed to, you know, hearing the names. You know, if you don't have Svarim, if you don't hear about them, you know, each one of them is a koicha, is a giant beyond giants. It's important to keep that in mind. So he was very dovid to the Rebbe from Sadigir, the Abir Yaakov, and he had a talmud. His name is Reb Kodosh. Very interesting name, right? So this Talmud Reb Kodesh, he said to himself one day, says, the Rebbe, Reb Uri, he goes to Sadiger, to the Abbe Yaakov, so I also want to go for Shabbos. He didn't want to tell anybody, especially he didn't want to tell the Rebbe, it's not so nice, you know, go to another Rebbe, even if it's a Rebbe's Rebbe, without asking a Rebbe. Like in those days, today it's a little bit more loose, but in those days, like to not be by your Rebbe for Shabbos, especially Reb Uri, I think for like 40 years he was Rebbe, he didn't like ever leave the town for Shabbos. Maybe one time he went to the Sar Shalom, but like, he was very consistent, could not, never, ever. You always know where to find him in the city of Sambar for Shabbos. So, this Reb Kadosh, he went from his city, he would be passing through Sambar to get to Sadiger, and it would be like a real chutzpah if he didn't like spend Shabbos in Sambar, going to Sadiger, passing through. So he was in the wagon, and he was traveling at a time that he didn't think, you know, he wasn't going to stop in Sambar for sure, because somebody would see him and this and that. So he's passing through the city of Sambar. All of a sudden, somebody comes over to his wagon, and he goes, Kadosh, Kadosh. And he didn't want to respond because he was frightened that, you know, somebody would know that he was there. He told the wagon driver, keep going. So he drives a little more, and again, there's a knock on the wagon, Kadosh. So he opens it up, and it's the Gabbai of Reb Uri. So the Gabbai says to him, why don't you answer? I'm calling your name. He says, I thought you were talking to somebody else, Kadosh. So he says, no, I'm talking to you. He said, I know that you're going to the city of Sadiger, and the Rebbe, here's a bottle of wine. When you get to Sadiger, tell him, this is from Aburi. This is from Aburi. such Ruach HaKodesh. Now I'm able to see you from the Talmud, going to where you're going, to meet him at the spot, give him the bottle of wine. He had a Talmud, Alter the Shoichit. He wasn't like, you know, such a... So, he was a big chassid of Reb Uri. And Reb Uri once was sick. He had a certain machla, I think, on the lungs. And he wanted to go to the mikveh. When it came to mikveh by Reb Uri, we'll talk about it in a second, he was a big avoider when it came to mikveh. And so it came, you know, really wasn't supposed to go to the mikveh. It wasn't well. But he had this fire, and he was going to the mikveh. And the children said, there's no way, Tata, that you're going to the mikvah. So he says, I don't know what to do. Let's ask Alta the Sheikhet. Alta Sheikhet will tell us what to do. They call him Alta the Sheikhet. Before he goes to the rabbi, so they were able to, like, you know, sabotage him, like, corner him. And they said, the rabbi's going to ask you about going to the mikvah. B'shum oifin, don't say that you should go to the mikvah. Yes, of course. No way I'm going to call you to go to the mikvah. Comes in front of the rabbi and says, nu alta, should I go to the mikvah? So he got all pachad. Of course, the rabbi should do whatever he wants. Whatever Alter says. See, I told you Alter told me to go to the mikvah. So he goes into the mikvah. Of course, nothing happened to him. I shouldn't say, of course. But yeah, everything was fine. What happened was, the sinyan of going to the mikvah, he was marked that nobody was allowed to see his avodah in mikvah. Whatever he did, nobody was allowed to be present at the time. And he was an old man, he was blind. And the gabbai had to walk him to the mikvah room. And when he came to the mikvah room, the gabbai had to leave and he would be able to know where to go. And so there was one bacher, he said, you know, the Rebbe's blind already. I'm like, come in, nobody's going to see. So he was able to sneak in. He was hiding behind like a bench in the thing. So the Rebbe Rebuvi, he was ready to go into the mikvah. And then he had a chush that somebody was there, but he couldn't see. So he was with his hands, he was going around the walls until he came to the place of the bachar. He pulled out the thing from the center, he grabbed him, and he said, get out of here. So he had this avoid of going to the mikvah. He wouldn't miss a day going to the mikvah. So when he lived in the city of Kamarna, before he came to Sambar, so he had to use like the Kamarna mikvah, you know, like the Hasidus Kamarna mikvah, which wasn't where the Beis Medrash was, which he davened. And then he came to his rabbi, the Stratner, and the Stratner knew that he was making this mysterious nefesh go to the mikvah, and he says, why are you traveling so far to the mikvah? Just take a shovel and start digging next to the Beis Medrash, and you'll have a mikvah, make a mikvah for yourself. And he says, what are you talking about? He says, there's no water underneath. He says, no, there's water there. He says, okay, the rabbi said. So he came and he took a shovel and he dug, and lo and behold, there was a mikvah. It was right outside of the Beis Medrash. So for years and years, he traveled there. And when he moved to the city of Sambar, as soon as he moved to Sambar, the mikvah dried up. That was it. No more mikvah. On Yom Kippur, when people were fasting, especially older people in the shul, so he would go around numerous times during davening with the doctor and check every single person in the shul to make sure that they were okay. He'd come over to them and check. See if they're okay. Go on to the next person. Motzi Shabbos, a Motzi Yom Kippur, he had an inyan that he would pass up the mezainis himself. It was like a school of Hapranah, so everybody would line up and get for him. But his avodah took a very long time. He would stay in Shmoneh Esrei Ne'ila like 2 hours after Yom Kippur, and he saw that it was like a lachat, so people were waiting, and even though to eat until they would get their mezainis to eat from the Rebbe. So he realized that, and so what he did, he started to hand out the mezainis before Ne'ila. To us, it's like, you know, how could you do such a thing? But for him, it was like, he didn't want to create any tichah b'tzibur, so he would pass out the lech lech before Ne'ilah, and that way, it wouldn't be tichah b'tzibur, and everybody would be able to get from the tzaddik and to go home. Just thinking about, you know, the cheshvan of people, he was moisir nefesh tremendously for tzedakah, so he gave out tons and tons of moisir nefesh himself, pidyonos, and tzedakahs.
Who stayed? Who stayed in the shul? I was doing Shemona, sorry. There's one person that got to stay now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm sure somebody would stay, the guy, whoever it was.
Come back.
Yeah. Lots of people were staying. So, how did he become Rebbe? It's always whenever we're zeichet to the stories of how, you know, that moment that a tzaddik becomes a Rebbe, always very interesting, very beautiful stories. So, Rebbe Abram from Stratton, who was his Rebbe, you know, he was his father was Yehuda Tzvi from Stratton, who we spoke about, and he was the Talmud Mubuk of the Stralisker. So it was the Stralisker to Yehuda Tzvi from Stratton, and then Rav Ramallah from Stratton, and then to Ravui from Samar. So he was once sitting by Mincha time with his Hasidim, and they were talking about the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid. So there was a Chassid there, an Alter Chassid, who was already, he had seen the Stralisker himself, and he asked the following question to Rav Ramallah. He said to him, in the earlier diaries, from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Magid from Mezrich and so on and after that, so those Rebbes, when they appointed the next Rebbe, it wasn't their children, it wasn't their son. Usually it was a Talmud. It wasn't always the son. Usually not. He says, how come in the earlier generations, when they appointed the Rebbe as a new Rebbe, it was the Talmidim, but in these generations, they're appointing their sons? The Rebbe Chaim has a tshuva. My Rebbe once told me this. I think he said, I hope I'm quoting it correctly, but it's certainly the musig I heard from the Rebbe many times. Was that the Rebbe Chaim said, or wrote, that the churban of Chassidus and that we're seeing in our times is because of this, because the Rebbe's, the Chassidim, when the Rebbe passes away, the Chassidim assumed that the next Rebbe should be the son of the Rebbe, but not the biggest Talmud of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe's didn't make that mistake, but many times, whatever cheshbonis they had, they didn't appoint the next Rebbe, either because it's not for them to appoint, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it happen, whatever other cheshbonis they had, maybe not to hurt somebody, but when Chassidim, the committee, they would appoint the son. But the Divichem says that's not, the Rebbe has to be the one who's, you know, Shechmo Lamala Mikol Am. He has to be higher than everybody else. So when you look at a Rebbe, you have to see a role model. You have to see somebody who's a true tzaddik. If you don't see that in your Rebbe, so then what does the Chassidim have? So anyways, this is the question which they asked. How come today's Rebbes, they appoint, or the sons become Rebbes and not the Talmidim themselves? So when he heard this, he went into a big dvekis, the Ramala. And he turned to one of the Chassidim and said, open up the window now. So he opened up the window, and as soon as he opened the window, Rav Uri from Samar was running by, that he was going to go down to Mincha. So he said, stop Rav Uri. So he calls him in. And he says to Uri, again, he says, Uri, do you want to be a Rebbe? Do you want to be a Rebbe? So he was very shocked. He was just on his way to Mincha to get a question like that. He really wasn't expecting it. So he says, Uri, come sit next to me and see my life. I want you to observe how I do things. See my life. So then he turns to the oilam there and he says, I want you to write kvitlach and to give them to Rav Uri. Because Rav Uri is going to be a big Rebbe and he's going to be Paul Yeshuas. And that's what they did. They handed it with the kvitlach to Rav Uri. He didn't want to read them himself, of course. There, read the kvitlach in front of his Rebbe. So he took them and he handed them to the Rebbe. But that was how, you know, he wasn't the son. But he heard that. He saw Minam Shemaim. This was a good question. And he had a chush that Rabbi should be the next Rebbe. Opened up the window, he was passing by, and pointed him to be the Rebbe. Get an Indian Rabbi, we were speaking about Kritlach, that the first Kritl that he would get every day, he would send to his Rebbe, to the Abir Yaakov from Sadegir. The first Kritl. And when he passed away, the Abir Yaakov, so he would hand his first Kritl he received every day, he would give it to his son, Rabbi Yisrael, from Sadegir. Chassidim didn't like that. Didn't like that because, and they tried to. Many people would come, many bigvirim, many ashirim, and they come to speak to Rav Uri. And you know, when you're an usher, you come to the front of the line. So he would be taking all the pidyonis that were coming to him, they would go to the tzaddikim. So they tried to arrange things in a way that the ashirim would be, you know, last, second, you know, Rav Uri was a baruch that she knew who would come first. Even if they tried to like make the people out of order, he always would say, this person coming now. And he would send them, you know, to send the kvitlach to the tzaddikim, so they couldn't beat the system. Stories here about, you know, Yeshuas that he did for people. He flies. Once for Chag HaShavuos, he came to the Sar Shalom from Belz, and he stayed there till after Shabbos, Parshat B'Leisra, and he was a young man at the time. And as they were leaving Belz, so they were passing through the city of Farmishlan. And this kvutza, this group of Chassidim, they wanted to see Reb Meiril. So the Rebbe from Farmishlan, Reb Meiril, he said to his gabbai, he said, there's a group of Chassidim who are coming here. He saw Baruch HaKadosh, they were coming. And he says, and the leader of them all is a very tall person. It happened to Reb Uri, was very tall. He says that the leader of them all was Reb Uri. And he's coming to test Meiril. You know, Reb Meiril from Farmishlan always spoke in third person about himself. They're coming to test me. They're coming to test Meiril. He says, but I'm already very experienced. I don't need to be tested. That's what he says. He always spoke in a very interesting way, a very funny way. He says, Meiril is already an experienced rabbi. He doesn't need to be tested by anybody. Whatever you do, make sure that he doesn't come in. He said, make sure that the tall one, the leader of the group, doesn't come in.
I would be scared.
Huh? Yeah, they rabbis don't like to be tested. So when the chevra saw that they couldn't get in, they were waiting for a long time. So everybody disbanded, except for Rav Uri. He refused to go away. The whole week, Reb Meiril didn't leave his room because he didn't want Reb Uri. So Reb Uri was waiting outside, and it was already from Sunday to Friday, he didn't leave his room because he didn't want to be seen by Reb Meiril. So it was already getting time close to Shabbos, and he had to go to the mikvah and whatever avodah he needed to do. So he sent like a shaychev. He told his gabbai to tell Reb Uri this. He said, tell Reb Uri that, that I don't want him to be here for Shabbos. And but if he stays, I won't be able to go to the mikvah. So I'm asking him to leave, because I won't be able to go to the mikvah before Shabbos. And if he listens to me, I'll tell him the secret of the meraglim, because it was Parshas Shlach, the next Shabbos. I'll teach him the secret of the side of the meraglim.
He'll be able to see him. Mm-hmm. Oh,
so yeah, he sent the shliach to tell him that. Sent the gabbai to tell
him.
You'll
tell him the letter.
Yeah. So this is what happened. So Guri agreed. He agreed. So what happened was is that he told the gabbai to tell him, "I'm not going to tell you the site of the meraglim." He says, "A few miles from here, there's a mountain, and you're going to find the yid on the top of the mountain there, and he's going to tell you the site of the meraglim. You spend Shabbos there. It's like unusual. He said, you spend Shabbos there, and he's going to tell you the site of the meraglim." So Guri agreed. And he went to the top of the mountain, and he met the Zaken there, and he told him the site of the meraglim. And Rabbi said, "I didn't get to see your Meryl. His face I didn't see. But as I was leaving, and he was coming out, I saw the back of his head." Even that is a Dabar Chash. He got to see your Meryl also. Still got to see your Meryl. Like the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Nasi, he said, I didn't get to see the face of Rabbi Meir. Had I seen the face of Rabbi Meir, I would have been super extraordinary. But I got to see the back of Rabbi Meir. He's also Rabbi Meir. I got to see the back of Rabbi Meir. So when he passed away, he gave away so many tzedakahs. It was huge levaya, and there was so many bechiyas from Amanas and Yosaimim and different people that he was mefarnes, serious nefesh mamish for the tzedakahs. It was a huge, huge loss and a void with his patir for the community and all the anim and the broken people that he supported. There was a yid, his name is Baruch Moshe Parnas, in the beginning of the Second World War, so he had to flee the Nazis in Machshman, and he came to the city of Sambar. And while he was in the city, you know, many cities, they used to have like a chronicle of things which were passed down historically, things which had happened. And so in the chronicles, in the Pinchas of that city, he was looking in it while he was there, and he was on the run, and he saw there the Rabui from Sambar. He wrote that in this city, 100 years from the time I write this, nothing, there will be no takala, there will be no tragedies in the city, 100 years from the time that I write this. Rabui wrote that. And he looked at the calendar, and he saw that from the time that he wrote that, it was 99 years and about 8 months. There were about 3-4 months left until the 100 years was up. From the Second World War to 100 years earlier that Rabui left. And he says that the Germans came and the other Soina Yisrael came into the town, and they didn't do anything in the town. They didn't touch a single yid. In the city surrounding, they made massacres. In that city, Meruri said, "I have a haftach, I'm giving haftacha, nothing for 100 years, not a single year was harmed." Many months later, the Germans came back, and they made a huge, huge chorban in that city. But that was already after he said the haftacha was up. But for that time that he said 100 years, you saw b'chush, mamish, he was free. Nothing could be, the Germans that came through the city, they didn't do anything. Because the Haftach and the Shvir Avui from Samar was on the city. Mamash and Maisa Pelavinifu. Schusa Yagalina Vakari Solomon. Amen.